Kia ora, good morning. Aotearoa, I'm Oscar Kightley, filling in for Kim Hill this morning, and we've now come to a very fun hour. I've been looking forward to this. As Flight of the Conchords, Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie have gone from being New Zealand's fourth most popular digi-folk parodists to entertaining millions of fans all over this planet we call Earth, because that's its name. They have created a BBC radio series, an HBO TV series, and an EP, The Distant Future, which won them a Grammy Award earlier this week. That's right, a Grammy, and it was an EP. Jermaine starred in the 2007 film Eagle vs. Shark, and he will appear in the 2009 Hollywood production Gentlemen Broncos from the writer-director of Napoleon Dynamite. He and Brett are currently writing the new series of Flight of the Conchords, and their eponymous full-length album will be released in April. Jermaine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. I feel welcome.
It's great to be talking to you here on Radio New Zealand National.
It's great to be talking to you here on Radio New Zealand National. I'm trying to put on a slightly radio voice.
Yeah, mine's been going for the last 2 hours. It's just you just talk sort of slightly lower than normal, and just a little bit high, and just sort of modulate your tones and go up and down like this.
That's good feedback.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
I guess that sounds more national radio.
No, you say Radio New Zealand National now, Jermaine.
Sorry.
Hey, congratulations, bro. What a week. What a week it has been. What's it been like? What's been happening for you since you guys won? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. My cell phone's been ringing a lot.
Who's been ringing?
I don't know. I didn't answer it.
Why not?
I assume it's the press.
What's the reaction been from your people in the States?
Well, we haven't been there. We've been in Wellington most of the time. And I don't know. I get more emails than usual.
Yeah, this is hilarious, Jermaine. You've stayed the same person. You've had all this phenomenal success in the last few years, and the way you sort of seem to react to it seems to be quite bemusement. Would that be fair?
Yes. I think that might be because when you work in this sort of line of work, you get used to getting refused, so you don't build up too much expectation or excitement about anything. And if you don't do that, then it's hard to get excited when you're not refused.
Right. So everything is a lovely bonus when it actually happens. If you expect nothing,
yes, I think of it as a lovely bonus.
When do you remember when you realised you were funny?
Oh, that's a very loaded question.
In your life, I remember I was six.
And what happened?
I was in primary school and the teacher said, clapped her hands, and I thought it was the clap your hands that meant go to your desk and sit up straight and fold your arms, but it was the clap your hands that meant there's an earthquake, go and hide under your desk.
There was an earthquake and you were sitting up straight.
Well, there wasn't an earthquake, it was a practice, but I was sitting up straight and all the kids laughed. And I thought, hey, laughter. Was there any such inciting incident for you, buddy?
No, I guess this wasn't very funny, but I thought it was funny. Just your story about clapping hands. I have my own story about clapping hands.
Oh, share with the class.
And when the teacher would sing that song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes,
I would sing if you're stupid and you know it, and I would not clap my hands, and then I'd without knowing.
Yeah.
Well, the class was making me laugh.
That's hilarious. So you were singing that quietly to yourself so no one else could hear.
Yeah.
If you're stupid, you know, clapping
and
your hands.
And miming clapping my hands, but not letting them touch.
Wow. That is funny, Jermaine. That's
elevating
funny.
Elevating myself above all the rest of the people in the class.
I think that's funny. Was that in Masterton?
That was in Greytown.
In Greytown. All right, buddy, let's get on to your favourites. I think out of your, it's quite an eclectic list, and one of my personal favourites is Art Garfunkel,
yes.
Bright Eyes. Why is that one of your favourites, Jermaine?
Well, when when you asked me to do this, I thought we were just going to be playing songs and pretending we're DJs. And then I got this email saying that each song should be attached to a personal story.
Right.
And I won't go too personal.
Yeah, please don't.
I don't think I know the country well enough yet.
I don't. Yeah. Everybody assumes they know you, though. That's one of the hard things about profiling.
They don't, and I don't know them.
Okay, so what's your story?
But I'm gonna let you in a little. Well, Watership Down was the first movie I ever saw.
Yeah.
And we made a big trip to Wellington, so it was very exciting.
Wicked.
The bright lights.
Beautiful. And I remember when this song was like on Ready to Roll all of a sudden. Was it, which rabbit was the one that died? Was it Fiver or Hazel?
Oh, it's a good question.
I think it was Fiver.
I wish I had a computer in front of me and I could look it up and pretend it's my knowledge.
I'm just guessing, but here it is, Art Garfunkel, Bright Eyes. How can the light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so pale, Jermaine?
It's one of the mysteries, isn't it?
Fiver was the rabbit that died.
Did you find out?
Yes, but I remember the scene when he's dying. It's the first time I ever heard anyone say, "It's so cold," when he talks to Hazel. It's so cold, Hazel.
They had very proper British accents.
Yeah.
For rabbits.
Hey, now that was the first movie you saw, the family trip to Wellington.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, Jim. Oh, okay, sure.
Are you crying?
Inside. I feel I am.
It's a sad song, isn't it?
It is. Did you know that Art Garfunkel has got a blog where he lists every book he's ever read?
I didn't know that.
He reads about two a month. Apparently the list is like over 1,000 now.
What has he read lately?
What have you read for me lately? I don't know, bud.
I also remember from that movie they had there was a character of a seagull with a Spanish accent, and he swore, and I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
The Spanish seagull that swore on Watership Down.
Mm.
That's hilarious. So it's amazing, isn't it, what things in your youth sort of become to you make jokes about, and just those little influential things that you found funny that then go into your work. You've since been to Wellington heaps of times since that first movie trip.
I lived there, yes.
That's right, you lived there, in fact. And you've always lived there, but life for you in the streets of Wellington is pretty different now, I imagine, since Flight of the Conchords show came on TV.
You know, Brett and I were walking through town the other day, and we actually noticed a guy from the Dom Post with a huge camera behind us.
What?
Yeah, that was very weird.
Are you guys getting papped?
It wasn't quite papped, because he introduced himself.
He introduced him. That's Kiwi paparazzi. They introduced themselves.
Do you mind if I take a few photos? And then he got us to do a few poses and stuff like that.
Oh,
it was strange, though.
That's
when
strange.
I saw him in the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
I said, "Hey, I heard you were standing on the corner of the street."
Oh,
it's a small town, you see.
So someone probably even rang their office.
Yeah. Well, we were quite near their office. Maybe we were asking for it.
Maybe you were in their office.
We weren't.
I want to get through as many of these songs as possible. That was awesome. What a great start. Human June, tell us about him.
I don't know anything about him. I just heard the song and I liked it.
Okay, let's hear it. It's called "I Wish I Could See You Soon." Wow. That was great, bro.
I've never heard the jam session bit at the end.
Yeah, well, there you go, the extended. That's how funky we get here on Radio New Zealand National.
You take it a little bit further.
We do. We always, here's an envelope, we're pushing it. Okay, we're doing this to it. We're pushing it. Can you hear that, Jermaine?
Yeah. I should hear that through the miracle of radio.
Hey, now, Jermaine, the last book that Art Garfunkel read was The Magnificent Ambersons by Booth Tarkington.
Does he say whether he enjoyed it, or does he just say he read it?
Well, that was The Magnificent Ambersons was the film that Orson Welles made after Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah, I think it was quite a prolonged, very difficult film.
It destroyed his career, apparently. But there you go, that's the book, because you asked. We got a question here from a listener.
Is it personal?
No.
Because you know I don't want to go too personal.
Yeah, I know, sorry about that.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Probably maybe in 10 minutes.
Maybe about quarter to 2. My kids download Flight of the Conchords clips all the time from YouTube. What do you and Brett think about YouTube and people downloading your stuff for free?
I don't mind it at all. I probably shouldn't say that. But it's kind of how we've had any sort of success, really, is people passing it on through the internet. So
it's like global viral marketing, you don't mind?
Yeah, I guess so. But it means that anything you do can turn up there, and it's very hard to get rid of, though. Say if we go to a gig, and we test out a new song, someone might film us, put it on there, and our song's not ready for people to see it. It might be ready for 50 people to see it in a little bar somewhere, but we might not want 50,000 people to see it. So.
Sure.
That's the only thing I don't like about YouTube.
That exposes it to this huge audience.
You can tell I'm very guarded, can't you?
You are very guarded. You're more guarded than I remember.
I've become more guarded since last Monday.
Hey, I remember when you got, because the Naked Samoans got to go to Edinburgh, and we were lucky because you guys were over there at the same time.
Sleep on your floor.
Yeah, I know. We'd wake up and, we had a flash place, and we'd wake up and Brett would be asleep under the pool table.
Our place was so poor that we didn't even have a pool table.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that sort of poverty?
Well, in Edinburgh, I imagine there's quite a bit of it someplace, some quarters.
We were in a flat and there were about 10 of us. I was in a cupboard.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen our show, was the inspiration for me getting a new flat. It was very similar to the place I stayed in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And Tyka Cohen, who I was doing a show with, and Brett were staying in the sitting room, and there were wasps coming through the wall. Anyway, what was your...
Those days are gone, though. You don't have to stay in those places anymore.
No, I choose to.
I remember that you guys had a show, it was at like midnight, and all of us boys had to go, not to make up numbers, but just to sort of add to the atmosphere. By the end of it, you had sold out audiences. Is that where it started? Is that where your following really started getting international? Was it all those years you went to Edinburgh?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Oh, sorry. There's all I've got on that.
You're so guarded.
I'm not letting you in.
Hey, Jermaine, what's the strangest thing that's happened to you with fame?
Maybe play a song and I'll have a think about that.
Okay. Well, let's go to the OJ's Love Train, something a bit more upbeat after our last two numbers. Tell us your journey with this song, Jermaine.
I guess it's a train that I'd love to be a passenger on.
Mm.
And I wish we were all travelling to this... I don't know actually where the love train's going.
Yeah.
What's this love? Port of call.
It's all over the world, Jermaine.
We're all getting on it. The love train.
Join hands.
A ticket.
Hey, what do you think powers the love train?
Love?
Yeah, true, eh? I was going to say electricity.
Probably these days.
Yeah, definitely. You could probably book a seat on the love train via your mobile too these days. It's amazing what they're doing.
I bet you don't even need to.
No, you just join hands.
Jump on board. Doesn't sound like an actual train, does it?
No, it sounds a bit of a fraud.
Like some people just holding hands.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what it is. It's not really a train at all.
No wonder it's so slow.
It's a big thing to, yeah.
No hasn't wonder. Got here yet.
Yeah, well. Hey, the emails are coming in. One's from Jude. Thank you, Jude. Jude
Thank
Davies.
You,
Jude. Jude Davies, 68. No, I won't read her email. No, it was Hazel who died at the end. Fiverr was the one who had visions.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Fiverr had visions, Hazel that died. So what, did Hazel say, it's so cold, Fiverr? Maybe.
So Fiverr was quite disturbed, wasn't he, by his visions.
I still like the Spanish seagull. Some of your fans are emailing. One says, "Hi, Oscar. Hi, Martin. Can you please ask Jermaine if there is a site or some place for dedicated fans to on-pass congrats and perhaps have a conversation? Seems very hard to contact them. I'd love to meet them sometime. They've given me a lot of laughter. Thanks, Martin."
Thank you, Martin.
Slightly obsessed fan, but not a stalker like Mal.
Okay. Well, in a way, you have communicated with us. But we have a MySpace page, and you have to join up and get your own one, and you can send us messages, and people have discussions on that.
Do you have an army of hot female fans on your MySpace?
Well, you're as hot as your photo.
Ah, okay. Do you have an army of hot female fan photos on your MySpace?
Yes, we do.
Excellent.
Anyone can be a hot female fan, even yourself.
I've already got three photos on there, Jermaine. I'm the Brazilian chick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's me.
I've been very unguarded with you, haven't I?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't realise.
You've been quite sharing. Now, Masterton. Yes. Can you tell the people of New Zealand what part that place has played in your life?
Well, I grew up there, so it cradled me.
It was a nurturing environment?
At times. It's quite a good place for young kids to walk around in fields and vandalise troughs.
Did you always look at the world in a funny way, even when you were in Masterton? Were you one of those people that entertained yourself in your head?
Do you mean, did I have no friends? I had friends.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
I had friends.
Because there's not, like, when I look at your character that you played in Shark versus Eagle.
Yes.
Sorry, Eagle versus Shark. I saw a half Maori dude from Masterton.
Yeah, well, when I read the script, it really reminded me of Masterton. The way you have these big families, which are sort of a patchwork.
Yeah.
All sort of sharing the same house, which is quite different to Wellington, seems to be.
Did you always want to get out? Were you always going to move on at some stage?
I knew I wanted to do something creative, and it's hard to do that in Masterton. Yeah, and I didn't want to be a hairdresser. So that's sort of the only outlet for a creative person there.
Oh, really? Hairdressing course.
So. That's what my mum wanted me to be.
Yeah.
But I think she just wanted free haircuts.
Your mum must be so proud of you.
Hi, Mum. I suppose so. Yes. No, she is. She told me that.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good, because if there's one person in your life that you should make proud, it's your mum.
Your mum must be pretty proud of you too, Oscar.
Yeah, she is. She is.
How is she?
Yeah, she's good. She says hi.
Say hi back.
Yeah, I will. Let's get back to some more music. Supertramp. Okay. Are they one of your faves?
This is one of my favourite songs. This used to be, when I was a child, this was my fear, what they describe in this song.
In this song. It's called The Logical Song from the album Breakfast in America. Radio New Zealand National. Jermaine Clement.
It's really hard to remember to put the National at that.
Yeah, it is. Some of your favourite songs, that was Supertramp. I was trying to listen to the lyrics to see what it was that you were afraid of as a child, but I wandered off in my mind.
To your own childhood?
No, well, yeah, it did actually. It made me think of my own childhood. But what was it in the song that you were so afraid of?
Just the sending you away part.
Yeah.
And I was reflecting too, Oscar.
Yes.
And I drifted off too, but I guess when you grow up in Masterton, you get into trouble a lot because you've got a lot of more freedom than kids in the city, and it's really easy to get in trouble with the police, and so there's often a threat of being sent away, and you think they're going to send you away and teach you how to be logical.
So you're afraid of being logical, being sent away, and being transformed.
I don't know. I don't know if I had a concept of what that was.
Yeah,
and I am quite logical, and I prefer to be logical.
The police thing, I always imagined that country police were sort of like the ones in Dukes of Hazzards, that they were friendly.
Bumbling.
Yeah, and bumbling and stuff. But were they quite mean to young people?
No, I wouldn't say that. But you just get into a lot of trouble, you know?
Yeah, it's just part of growing up, eh?
You do bad things. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, you're quite guarded. Don't,
yeah.
Yeah, I think as your friend I should look after your guardedness.
Thank you. You can guard me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I did think though, an answer to your
what was the strangest question. Thing that's happened during your since fame came?
Yeah, which was about 3 months ago.
Yep.
Well, for Halloween in America, lots of people dressed as us.
What?
Well, I don't know if there are lots, but we get lots of pictures of people dressed as me and Brett and Reese Darby.
And what do they wear?
For me, they wear fake sideburns, square-rimmed glasses, and sometimes even they go to the effort of drawing in a gap in their teeth or some or some big lips. If you don't know what it look like, that sort of those are the basic elements.
And with Brett?
A hairy face. Sometimes a beard, and a sweatshirt with an animal print on it.
Wow, that's awesome. You know you've made it when Americans start dressing like you at Halloween, right?
Strange, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Not very scary.
Yeah. I know, imagine if someone walks up to a house dressed as you and says trick or treat, they're like, well, who are you? What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Be like opening a mirror.
Hey, and all the, because you know how I'm quite professional, Jermaine, so I did quite a lot of research.
Yes, Googling, you mean?
Yeah, Googling. And even the serious female journalists, when they write about you, always talk about your sex appeal and Brett's sex appeal. And
are,
I remember,
are you going to talk about that?
No, I'm going to talk about something to do with that. But I remember the fan that you had met in Austin, Texas on your documentary, she carried around a photo of your lips.
Yes.
That must have been pretty strange.
Yeah, that was.
I reckon that the gap in your teeth is a big part of that. What do you think?
I don't think about it.
No, of course you don't.
I forget that other people don't have them.
Do you?
Most people in my family have that.
Really?
It's a very sexy family for that reason.
Do you like so you don't go to the shop and sort of smile with your gap just to sort of disarm people?
And then cover it up a little.
Yeah.
Self-consciously. No, I don't think about it.
That's awesome. I just wish you had all this fame, you know, way back in the day when we were going around Wellington trying to have fun.
Yeah, I guess it would have been easier to talk to girls.
Yeah, way easier instead of ending up alone at Kenny's 3 in the morning eating a fish burger.
Still. We had some good fish burgers.
Some good times.
That sounds like a cue for the next song.
Yeah, some good times. And speaking of good times, I had a good time watching Bugsy Malone, one of my favourite films. I think everybody loves that musical. And one of your tracks is from it. Tell us about that one. Why you love that one?
I just like it.
Yeah.
I like the tune.
You give a little love?
Oh, man, I didn't realise how themed my songs were.
I know. What are you trying to say to the world, Jermaine?
We could skip to the next track because I know we have some.
Okay, which track would you like to hear next?
Can we play Funkhauser?
We're saving that till the end.
Okay.
We've got to edit.
All right. Okay, let's just play the Bugsy Malone tune.
You want Bugsy Malone or Front Lawn?
Oh, Front Lawn. Let's play that.
Okay, let's go Front Lawn, and which was one of my favourites. Andy, why is it one of your favourites?
It's very emotional.
Mm. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tune. And it sounds like he's letting his guard down, isn't he? And it's just, I think it's a beautiful song.
When I really like a song, I whistle along to it.
Mm.
That was great, Jermaine.
It wasn't me.
I know.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I've got a message for you, Oscar.
What's that, buddy?
It came to me by text from my Auntie Pania.
Yeah.
And that is that you have to marry her.
Oh.
And I thought, if that's true, I should tell you.
That means we'll be related.
Oh, that's great.
You'll
be my uncle. I like that idea.
Okay, all right. Well, tell her to hit me up on MySpace.
Okay, and, she's got a page.
We'll start chatting, see what happens. You've been quite guarded this morning.
I've just let it down,
Jermaine, but I feel like your music's been speaking for you, and it's revealing quite a melancholy, reflective heart. Is this the true Jermaine?
Next song.
All right. God, I thought you were letting your guard down.
You went right in there.
An email from the States. This is Sarah.
Sarah?
Yes, the United States of America. This is Sarah listening in on the web from Oregon, USA, the home of Nike. Oregon. Hey, Radio New Zealand, going to Oregon. Nice. Big fan of Jermaine and Brett. And she wants to know, there are a few references in the HBO show having to do with being a wingman. What is with all the references to Top Gun? Brett says something about it being your favourite movie, and Jermaine says annoyed that he doesn't know the movie. Is that an inside joke? Is she reading too much into it?
Well, I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. Okay, there you go, Sarah. No. The answer's no.
It's just a joke. Yeah, it's just a joke.
Just a joke.
That Brett misunderstands what a wingman is. He thinks it means flying up into the sky. And we should have gone into it further.
Hey, when I first met you, you were part of another dynamic comedy group called the Humour Beasts, the funniest dudes in New Zealand, along with Flight of the Conchords. That was, of course, with Taika Waititi. Any plans to work with him again?
Yeah, we're working on a film, and I don't know if you know this, Oscar, you're sort of helping us with it, with the script.
It's going well?
What do you think? It's going okay, yeah. I think it's going to be good, but it's going to be a while off because of...
Because you guys are too busy.
Me and Brett are busy, and then Taika's filming his... next film this year as well, which is called Volcano.
Tell us about this new film from the writer and director of Napoleon Dynamite. How did he get in touch with you?
Well, it's pretty cool, actually. He said he got a message, he got an email from Beck to watch our show.
From Beck?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And he watched it, and he had written the script, and he thought I might be able to play the part of this author. A science fiction author who, it's in all the press releases, so I think it sort of ruins the story.
Okay, don't tell us what the story is.
If you want to know, you can find out.
Is it the lead?
No. It's kind of the bad guy.
When do you start filming?
In a few weeks.
Wow.
In Utah.
How long will you be there for the shoot?
I'll only be there for about 3 weeks.
Wow. You don't drink coffee anyway, eh?
No, so it's fine for me.
Yeah, so you'll be sweet in Utah. Hey, we've probably got time for one more song before we get to Funkhauser later. Would you like Nick Cave, Bugsy Malone, or the Magnetic Fields?
What do you think?
Actually, we probably won't have time for any of them.
Okay, well, shall we just go to Hard and Firm?
Yeah, Hard and Firm. Tell us about this, Funkhauser.
Well, these guys actually know. They're friends of our... I talk about Brett and I like we're a couple. They're friends of ours.
Yeah.
We met them in America. Yeah. We were travelling around. Great guys.
Yeah, Funkhauser.
They're Chris Hardwick and Mike Furman. That's where their name comes from. Hard and Firm. This is one of my favourite songs of theirs.
From the album Horses and Grasses, he's Funkhauser, Hard and Firm.
All right, I want everyone to start clapping. Everybody, come on, follow me. I'm sorry, we too loud? Was it the force field?
That's funny. Yeah. Those guys, they're almost as funny as you guys.
Yeah, I think times they're funnier.
Wow. We're just going to let the beat keep on rocking. And talk over the beats right up to the pips, Jermaine.
I've got an interesting bit of information about the guy who does the main voice in that.
Yes.
He's not one of the two guys in the band. He's a friend of theirs, but he's actually a white guy. And I think a big part of his income comes from doing audio replacement for black actors.
Wow, really?
So if they want to change a line of Samuel L. Jackson, for instance, and they can't afford to get him, and they get this white guy to come in, And he's just a really good mimic.
Wow, so if they need someone to say, man, they'll get him in to do that line.
It's harder than a mother flipper in here, say for TV.
Hey, Jermaine, someone wanted to know what sort of guitar you play.
It's called La Patrie.
La Patrie?
It's a nylon string guitar. It's quite cheap, but good. That's all right, go ahead. We go through a lot of guitars because we travel a lot, and they get smashed up on the plane. But this one's been... lasted for a few years.
Nice. And you're the bass player in the band, eh? Hey, guess what? I'm talking to John Taylor soon from Duran Duran.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of excitement.
I know. What is there any questions you want me to ask him as a bass player?
Is he guarded?
Is he guarded? Hey, well, I think the pips are coming up soon, but thank you so much for taking time out.
My pleasure.
In Christchurch. How was the wedding?
It was really beautiful. It was congratulations nice. To Toby and Amelia.
Oh, shot Toby and Amelia. Thanks for taking time out to be with us on National Radio. Oh, sorry, on Radio New Zealand National.
It's hard. I got you into
that. You got me into that habit. We're all very proud of you, Jermaine. Keep it up, bro. You're the man.